good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM, hits 103.9 FM here in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via our various affiliates, live on X Spaces and Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams coming up.
We are on our knees. They should fix it for us.
We will demonstrate. We must park the cars on the road and block it.
Another day, another bumpy ride. With just 2 days for their ultimatum to expire, driver unions are warning government to either fix the crumbling Pokwasi Insamum Road or quickly find alternative routes before the wheels of frustration come off.
We did not demand complete completion of that portion of the road. We said at least the place using should be more trouble. The portion that we are using should be more trouble whilst the main work is going on.
We have more on this coming up shortly. Also coming up, fierce legal battle looms between Esikado Kitten MP Dr. Grace Ayensu Dankwa and the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission GTEC. As lawyer for the MP gives GTEC 14 days to provide basis for questioning her professorship title.
I am a professor of surgery at the University of Utah. I am a professor of global surgery per the American College of Surgeons and American Board of Surgery. I have worked in teaching for the last 15 years.
Also this afternoon, heavy security deployment to Ashaman as scores of aggrieved residents take to the streets accusing the municipal assembly of unlawfully evicting them from a disputed parcel of land still pending in court. They want President Mahama to intervene. More on this later in sports.
The Ghana Football Association has defended its decision to extend the presidential term limits from 2 to 3.
Also coming up, coalition of civil society groups, including the Ghana Coalition Against Illegal Mining, demand arrest and prosecution of the boss of a mining company accused of attempting to illegally divert the Birim River at Apapam, and later 2 extra days of rest, some pay. That's the recommendation from the CEO of the Chartered Institute of Human Resource Management, Ghana, who says workers should have Mondays and Fridays off to boost productivity.
So on Friday, when workers are already working, by 12 o'clock, they've checked out. They are thinking about how they can attend the next meeting, how they can meet a friend to hang out.
That's music to the ears of employees, including mine, but a tough pill for employers to swallow. These and more coming up with me, Mami Senior Mitchell Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. Please stay. Now, this afternoon, drivers and residents along the Amasaman Insamum stretch served notice warning that if immediate action is not taken to fix the unmotorable roads, they will hit the streets in protest. That was last week. The expiration of the ultimatum is in the next 2 days. The drivers say they've had enough of dusty detours, the broken suspensions, and the endless wait for a road that has been under construction for years. The GPRTU and the GRTCC wants government to drag the contractor back to site or face their wrath. My colleague Michael Ashale and Anthony Mainu were on the stretch. Here's their report.
With each passing day, commuters and drivers are paying the price for government's inaction. Welcome to the Pokwasi Insamum stretch, where driving is a nightmare for drivers and commuters, and where every bump feels like a gamble with your vehicle's safety. This stretch has been under construction for years, yet today, the contractor is nowhere in sight. The result? An obstacle course of potholes forcing drivers to crawl bumper to bumper, twisting and turning just to stay on four wheels. On our visit, more than 20 vehicles were seen broken down in the middle of the road. Here lies another broken down car, and another, and another. Darko Foster was heading to the eastern region when his car skidded dangerously close to tipping over.
I didn't know where to pass. I lost traction. The next thing I realized, the vehicle was skidding, and there were people in the car, and no one is willing to help.
The car has been stuck here since 12. There is mud in my goods, and everything I bought to sell is destroyed. I lost my money today.
While we were here, an STC bus got stuck. It was the second one that day in the same area. The driver, John Ate, is now visibly frustrated.
A state bus, a whole state bus. Look at the situation in which it is.
This is a state bus. Now see where we are. Government must fix the road. The road is very bad.
Problem, I don't know.
But how bad is the road?
Road in there very bad. Very bad. Bad. No, beyond bad. Beyond bad.
Passengers were forced to get out and wade through mud. For another passenger, time is money. He's now late to his appointment and losing both.
Manaf, this vehicle is spoilt. Are you from this vehicle, one of the passengers in there?
No, I'm not, but from the other one, a similar STC that got stuck.
Another STC broken down, yes, same day, same time?
Yes, yes, yes.
From Burkina Faso to Tema, one long haul brought to a halt here.
The road no good, I swear.
Brima Tofik's cargo now sits in jeopardy after a key support beam broke in the struggle.
If you come out from Amle, Cambodia, the road no good. So all the goods will be the load, you know. I swear, but from Obakura, Oko, Odo Amele, plenty cars fall down for that place because of the road. The road no good. They do go do 5 days to reach the Tema, but sometimes we do 1 month before we reach Tema.
The GPRTU and GRTCC have announced plans to demonstrate over the bad road. Residents and commuters have endorsed it.
Of course, why won't I join? Because it's really now, kids are not able to use this road anymore. And then, I'm even lost of words. I don't even know the right words to use because...
We are on our knees. They should fix it for us.
We will demonstrate. We must park the cars on the road and block it. They should try and fix it for us.
The Amasaman Road is a critical stretch for trade and commerce, but the current state is crippling the economy and affecting lives. The government must take immediate action to address the situation and complete the road project. Until then, every journey here will remain a gamble. For Joy News, Michael Ashali and Anthony Menu.
Well, let's get to know more about how bad the road is. And Joy News editor Fred Smith joins me in studio with more. Fred, let's start on a general note. What do we know about the state of Ghana's roads and how much has been allocated in this year's budget to improve them?
Well, so far, we have, according to the Roads and Highways Ministry, 47% of Ghana's roads are good, 32% of them fair, and 21% of them are poor.
Mm. Well, let's zoom in on the Ofanko and Sobom stretch. What work has been done so far? How much is it costing? How are the delays affecting economic activities along that corridor?
Well, so for that project, we have 33.4 kilometers, 10 lanes and 4 interchanges being worked on so far. As it stands, at the end of 2024, we had 68% of the project done. However, you know, it stalled. And since then, we've not been able to do anything. Initially, we had the start date was 20th of July, 2022. And the initial completion date that was announced was 20th of July, 2024. Mm-hmm. That was revised because there were some legal issues with the residents and those who were occupying the space at the time. revised to 21st of May 2025. That has also elapsed, and so we know we've not been able to meet the target. So far, 346.5 million is what has been sunk into it.
Well, the current government's big push is mainly on road infrastructure. How is it seeking to solve this problem?
Well, the big push had a 13.8 billion allocation, which also has the Sawam of Ankon Sawam Road as part of it.
Great.
It was actually classified as part of projects abandoned with no dedicated funding by the previous administration.
Right.
And so they expect the big push funds to be able to help fund the construction of the remaining.
All right. Thank you so much, Fred, for that update. Well, speaking on Joy News Desk with me, Public Relations Officer for GPRTU Abbas Moore said an inspection will be done on the road later today to ascertain reports they've received that some work had started on the stretch, after which the next line of action would be decided.
This morning, I heard some machines are on site. So we'll wait till Thursday. If really something has been done, then we call it off. All we said is we did not demand complete completion of that portion of the road. That wasn't what we said. We said at least the place using should be more trouble. The portion that we are using should be more trouble whilst the main work is going on. You know, we made this for some things back about 2 months ago. The road minister elected us and promised to do something for the road. We should give him not let this road. Lo and behold, that very week we saw machines on fire. And someday they were withdrawn and there was nothing happened that piece of road. And for some time, this has got back about 15 minutes journey from Pukwase to Sawan. You now have to spend almost 2 hours.
Mm.
That is the problem. So if machines are on site and they are able to rectify that almost 2 hour journey for us, why not? We have no problem complaining.
Well, also speaking on the issue with me on Joy News Desk was the General Secretary of the GRTCC, Emmanuel Hiniyaba, who is asking government to at least fix one side of the road for their drivers.
We wanted to actually officialize it so that it would be like people are just doing it because of this. Well, after withdrawal, they are still doing it anyway. And that tells you the magnitude of the issue we have on the ground. To the extent that the people who travel, who have to travel to beyond Kumasi last weekend, had to go to Kobodia before they get wherever they were going.
Mm-hmm.
That issue we are not present with, and I don't think anybody is present with it. So we are only calling on the government to just do a portion of that, a portion of the road, so that we can make it the motor of all.
GRTCC's Emmanuel Ohene-Yeboah there. Well, let's get on the phone lines now and speak to the Vice Chairman on the Roads and Transport Committee in Parliament, Andrew Chawite. We're grateful for your time on the Midday News. Well, you've had the frustrations and the plea for immediate action. What's your committee doing to ensure that the road is constructed immediately?
Let me say a very good afternoon to you and the fellow listeners. We appreciate the concern of the team. We are all people who travel on that road, and so we know what they are talking about exactly. As a committee, we visited that project site 2 months ago. We went towards the central region, we went towards the whole road just to see the progress of work on those roads. And so all these concerns they are raising, the committee is fully aware. The challenge, however, was that government owed the contractors, especially that particular contractor, he was owed over $77 million. And so imagine this quantum of money that is being owed. How do you expect the contractor to work? And so, but the good news is that just last week, the minister responsible for roads and highways, Honorable Kwame Governor Abuja, said publicly that government has paid the contractor all the money owed him. He said they paid equivalent of $77 million that Gavin owed the contractor. And the contractor promised he was moving to site on the past Saturday. And so I believe strongly that by now the contract will be on site. The unfortunate issue is that the committee, you know, Parliament is on recess now. And so the committee is not together at the moment to do a follow-up. But I'm sure with this call we have made, I'm going to brief my chairman and then possibly we'll do an amendment to see how we can also go and see whether what the minister said is actually happening.
Right.
But, yes, you want to say something?
No, so I was agreeing. I was listening to what you were saying, that you said the contractor should have resumed work Saturday, just the Saturday
exactly
that
so.
Has passed. But we don't have any indication that he has. Well, we'll make our checks. We're grateful for your time on the Midday News. And you had the Vice Chairman on the Roads and Transport Committee in Parliament, Andrew Chawati. Now, moving on, fierce legal battle is looming between Deputy Health Minister Dr. Grace Ayensu Dankwa and the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission, GTEC, as the two engage in public accusations over whether or not the Deputy Minister's professorship was earned. Lawyer for the MP, David Amatefe, has in a fiery letter taken on GTEC, accusing it of bias and political influence. The lawyer's letter is in response to the Commission's threat to initiate a court action against the Deputy Minister if she does not stop carrying herself as a professor of surgery. According to GTEC, there's no evidence justifying that Dr. Ayensu has been appointed a professor of surgery by the University of Utah in the U.S., contrary to her claim. There's more in the following report.
GTEC has in the last few days intensified its clampdown on the unjustified use of academic titles, especially among businessmen, religious leaders, politicians, and other influential persons in society. The commission has in the last few days called out persons, including Deputy Director of Election and IT for the NDC, Rashid Tanko Computer, founder and presidential candidate of the All People Congress, Hassan Ayariga, and several others out, with the latest being the MP, Esikado Ketan, Dr. Grace Ayensu Dankwa. The controversy over her professorship title heightened following ranking member on the appointment committee Alexander Penyu Makin's probe into her qualification during her vetting as deputy health minister.
So the American College of Surgery in its role has your name there as Professor Ayensu Dankwa, correct?
American College of Surgeons has my name as a Professor Ayensu Dankwa. I am a board certified surgeon, doubly boarded from the United States of America. Thank you.
GTEC, following the incident on August 4, wrote to the MP demanding all academic documents conferring the title on her. Her lawyers, in an August 8 response, indicated that her appointment as an assistant professor of surgery by the Vice Chair for Academic Affairs at the Department of Surgery at the University of Utah justifies her qualification. But GTEC insists she was appointed an adjunct assistant professor and not an assistant professor, a position GTEC says does not even qualify her as a senior lecturer in Ghana. GTEC warns it will drag the MP to court if she does not stop carrying herself in public as a professor.
Well, James Avaji joins me in studio with a response from the lawyers. James, the lawyers are not happy about the position and approach of GTEC. Why?
Yes, Mamiese. So according to their letter, they said GTEC's letters in this correspondence we talked about were abrasive and disparaging. They said the assessment at which they arrive at that Dr. Ayensu is not a professor lacks legal basis. Also saying that GTEC overstepped its powers under Act 1023 and the international rules on academic recognition were also disregarded in this GTEC's letters. And so they are giving the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission some 14 days in order to respond to this five-letter response, or they also take their actions against the GTEC.
Thank you, James. Well, Professor Jennifer joins us on the line for more on this. Prof, we're grateful for your time on the Midday News. Aside the evidence the lawyers are providing, has GTEC done any independent checks from the university University of Utah to know whether or not she indeed qualifies?
I think, first of all, this is not about the issue of legality. Of course, we have our main framework for dealing with these issues. But let's look at the chronology of events and the statements that have been made by the different parties. The Honorable Deputy Minister of Health, an MP, during her vetting, stated on national TV that she is a full professor from University of Utah Department of Surgery. That is a statement of fact. Her lawyers wrote to GTEC and indicated that she is an assistant professor at Utah. The University of Utah wrote to GTEC and indicated that she is an adjunct assistant professor. In fact, as we speak, she has not been able to provide us with a document that points to her appointment, whatever rank, whether a full professor, an assistant professor, or an adjunct professor. So these are the issues that need to be interrogated. So as we speak, if we don't have any letter or any appointment document pointing to where she has been appointed to, be it a full professor, an adjunct professor, or an assistant professor, then the confusion continues. But for us as a commission, we are not interested in disgracing anybody. That is not our interest. As a matter of fact, when it comes to this issue, we gave the Honorable Minister the opportunity to meet the board chairman of GTEC at the place of her convenience and the time of her choice. The board chairman met her, persuaded her to stay away from using that title informed by the narrative that she gave. She didn't heed to that. So today, if the lawyers of the Honorable Deputy Minister is giving GTEC 2 weeks to retract, we don't know what they are asking us to retract. But I must say on authority, I think, I mean, the issues pertaining to all these inconsistencies probably is emanating from the advice by her lawyers. I don't think they are doing a good service to her when we look at all what is going on.
Right.
I would have thought that, let me finish. I would have thought that immediately that University of Utah wrote to GTEC, of which they carried the letter to us, indicating that she's an adjunct assistant professor. A common search of what an adjunct assistant professor is points to the fact that the person is a part-time lecturer. There's no doubt about it. You can Google what an adjunct assistant professor is. And in fact, in that letter, the professor goes further to explain and to distinguish between what a tenure-track professor and an adjunct professor is. So I don't see where the confusion is coming from.
Well, Prof, her lawyers have given you the two-week ultimatum. What then do you do within this period?
The two-week ultimatum to do what?
We haven't received any letter,
but what are they asking us to do? That we should do what?
To respond to her demands in the letter.
2 weeks to respond to her demands that she is a full professor, an assistant professor, or an adjunct assistant professor, which is which.
What,
as I indicated, the lawyers have not been,
so
I mean, they've not been helpful to her cause. And if I'm advising her, I think the lawyers need to be fired.
Thank you very much, Professor Ahmed Jinapo. He's Director General of GTEC. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. There's more to come. We'll take a break, return with sports, and also a coalition of civil society groups, including the Ghana Coalition Against Illegal Mining, demand arrest and prosecution of boss of a mining company accused of attempting to illegally divert the Birim River at Apapam. Welcome back to the Midday News. We are Sports with Achu.
You see, the Ghana Football Association has insisted that it acted in the interest of its members when it extended the presidential term limits from 2 to 3. Last week, the proposal to extend the term limits of its presidency received overwhelming congressional approval despite public dissent. Here's the GFA's General Secretary.
It's only with time that we'll see the benefits.
What were the intended benefits of it?
No, the statute says that if you are bringing a proposal, you bring a proposal and there's an explanation.
Yes.
Why you want it. The explanation given by Yashin when they brought it was the fact that the ESCO is made up of 12 members. Now, for 11 members, they have 3 terms. And for the president alone, they have 2 terms. And then the second reason was that FIFA have their ESCO. Everybody in the ESCO have 3 terms. Mm-hmm. The CAF, the same. So, alignment. We should align.
That was Prosper Harrison-Addo, who's General Secretary of the Ghana Football Association.
Thank you, Achu. Now, a coalition of civil society organizations are demanding a full-scale investigation into the attempt by mining company to illegally divert the Birim River at Apapam in the Eastern Region. The Ghana Coalition Against Illegal Mining, Arocha Ghana, and the concerned citizens of the Tiwa landscape want the security agencies to immediately arrest and prosecute the operator, Emmanuel Gama, and all those complicit in what they describe as an egregious assault on Ghana's environment and cultural heritage. They've issued a joint statement, and Joy News editor Fred Smith is here with the details of that statement. Fred.
Well, the group is saying that they are a profound outrage stems from the recent discovery that a mining entity identified as belonging to Mr. Emmanuel Gama and operating from Kwabing actively excavated trenches and constructed a diversion channel aimed at redirecting the sacred Birim River within its bed at Apapam. This activity targeted the river precisely where it exists, the ecologically critical Atiwa Forest Reserve. A swift public alert and intervention led to the current suspension of the unauthorized operation. Mm. Now, in direct response, officers from the Water Resources Commission, the Minerals Commission, and the National Intelligence Bureau visited the scene, and at that scene, a security operative belonging to the company was picked up. But they're saying they want more from this. They are asking the Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources and others to arrest Mr. Emmanuel Gama and prosecute him, in addition to all others who aided him in undertaking this law.
Right. Thank you, Fred Smith. Now, scores of agreed traders in Ashaiman have taken to the streets to protest what they describe as an unlawful eviction of the Ashaiman Municipal Assembly. The traders who operate on a parcel of land near the Ashaiman traffic light insist they possess the necessary legal documents permitting them to conduct a business there. We'll bring you details of that shortly or later in subsequent bulletins. Well, moving on, political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Asa Asante, says the New Patriotic Party's decision to grant amnesty to suspended members risk undermining discipline within the party. His comments follow the NPP's decision to restore members who had been sanctioned or facing disciplinary proceedings for misconduct. According to him, while this move is normal political process to foster unity and reconciliation within the party aimed at boosting members, it risks emboldening misconduct.